I kind of stumbled across a video, and it just brought back so many memories of that journey that of ministry. And here we are at a time when it's my turn to hand over. You've got go to KTR. Any really hard questions, yeah, you can go to KTM. Any easy ones, you can come to me. Mean. I surrender. What does that mean? Well, it's allowing God into you, and He works in us. He knows that we're not the finished product, and so do we. But graciously, that means with patience and love and kindness, He will, at times with ourselves. And we've learned to live with some of the stuff that's going on in us, but God wants to graciously, and we never surrendered. You don't, do you? Do you surrender? Do you give in? No. No, I'm not going to surrender. Nation process. I just thought I'd share that with you. Katie Ann is going to start work with us this week, and gradually we will transform into something new. We'll transition into something new, and we encourage Katie, and we want her to be blessed as she leads us and takes on this responsibility, which is not easy. You know, I don't know whether you've ever been in charge of an organisation, but suddenly that weight of responsibility can weigh quite heavy, and so we want to make that as easy as possible for her, and I'm sure you will, because you've made it really easy for me, most of the time anyway. Some of the time, occasionally, yeah. Just next week is our baptismal service. I know it's not the announcements yet, but next week is our baptismal service. And I need some. I always look round here and go, I need some strong men, and you go, oh dear, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. We've got to move all the stuff out of there and put it somewhere else. So at the end of the service, if you're feeling up to it, that will be really helpful, because I can't do it on my own anymore. So we'll do that at the end of the service. I want to talk this morning really about prayer. You know, we had our prayer service last week, which was something different. It made us think differently, behave differently, and pray differently. And I just want to talk a little bit about that after reflecting on it for a period of time and chatting with one or two people, and how that fits into our lives. Because we're told, aren't we, when we become a new believer, that we've got to pray, we've got to read the word, and we've got to go to church. So going to church is easy because we do it, don't we? We're here. We've gone to church today. We've got to read the word, because in reading the word, it imparts something to our hearts. It helps the Holy Spirit work on what we've read. You know, if you don't read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit really struggling to bring it to our understanding. So we've got to read the Word, and we've got to pray. So what is prayer? How do we pray so that it actually impacts our lives, so it makes a difference, so it becomes a reality? You see, if we don't understand how prayer works, if we don't understand the essence of prayer, the meaning of prayer, then we can misunderstand prayer and it can become mythical and impossible to apply to our lives. If you watch anything on the television, when somebody's under pressure, they always pray the Lord's Prayer, don't they? Our Father who art in heaven. Which is a great prayer because Jesus left it for us to understand how to pray. But prayer is more than just reciting something. Prayer is a little bit deeper than that. And so I just want to kind of go through some thoughts that I've had around prayer. Sue Moore's bought the leadership this book called Prayer by Selwyn Hughes, which is a very simple book to read, but quite insightful. And I'm just going to share some thoughts from that as well. So not all these thoughts are my thoughts. I'll give some of the benefit to Selwyn Hughes. As part of all our church services, we pray, and as we experienced last Sunday, we pray for specific people, we pray for our community, we pray for our nation. In fact, tomorrow night we're meeting together to pray. We pray together. It's something that we do. We say it's where things really happen. It's where our hearts are revealed and we express our need and our desires to God. So tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, be here. We're going to pray together and we're going to believe God's going to do some amazing things. Sometimes our prayers often turn into asking God for things. There's nothing wrong with that. We do ask God, we ask God for healing, freedom from behaviours, provision for jobs or finance, overcoming difficult circumstances, healing relationships, God's guidance and wisdom, and what is our calling in God, what are we called to do? We do ask God for things. And it tells us in Scripture, doesn't it, to keep asking. Ask, and it will be given unto you. Keep on knocking, keep on asking. So there's nothing wrong with asking God for things, but we don't want our relationship with God just to be asking him for things. Those of you with children and grandchildren, we know that they ask us for a lot. Can I have? Can you? Can I? Will you? And we want our relationship to be deeper than just to see God as a resource to give us things. What we're looking for in our natural relationships is to share life with one another, is to share our thoughts, our hearts, our ambitions, our dreams. We share all that with each other, not just I want this and I want that. Can you give me? God is very gracious and does those things, but he's looking for something more, and prayer is part of that relation building process with God. It's so much more than just kneeling before God, because we know we have to pray, and so we pray. You've got to pray when you become a believer, and you go, well, okay, I'll do it. It's a bit like if we read the Bible because we've got to read the Bible, then it doesn't bear much fruit in our lives. And if we pray because we feel we've got to pray, then our motivation is not right. It's askew. And we've got to pray because we want to pray, because we have this relationship with God. Because we don't fully understand prayer, we can be put off praying before we even start, because we can imagine a dull and dreary time of praying without knowing what it really means. I don't know whether you've ever been in that position, but I know when I was sort of growing up in the church and they used to, we've got a prayer meeting and you go, oh dear, oh no. What do you do in a prayer meeting? We'll come tomorrow and find out. But prayer can sometimes seem a little bit dreary. It can seem stale, it can seem ineffective if we don't fully understand it. But what we teach here and what we always have taught is that everything we do as believers is out of relationship. Firstly, with God. We've got to have an open and two-way relationship with God. It says, love God with all your heart, your mind, your strength. Love God with everything that you have. And that's our position before God. When we begin to love God with everything that we have and everything that we are, then we begin to love each other. And that is so important, that we love one another. And there's two kinds, well, there's lots of kinds of love, but there's the love that meets needs, this agape love. We do it because we're called to love one another. But there's another type of love, which is, actually, we are quite like you. We're brothers together, we're sisters together, and so we're creating, that's family, isn't it? We're creating this love. And so we begin to love one another. We love God, we love those around us. And then we can begin to love our community. We can begin to love our neighbours because we're motivated by God's love. Sometimes we come across people that aren't nice. Is that just me? We do. Life can bring people into our kind of relationship that we go, well, they're not really nice people. How do we love them? Well, if we love God, we begin to love those people. We begin to love those difficult people because we see them as God sees them. And when God looks at us, he looks at us through grace. He looks at us through love. He looks at us through his son, Jesus Christ. And so he sees something different in each of us. And if we examine who we are, we can sometimes say, I'm not really very nice, I'm not really lovely. But God loves us. That's why we're a Come As You Are church, because we know God loves you. He loves me because he's a gracious and loving God. And so we learn to love those around us. Our relationship must start with God. As we are serious about God in our lives, then things, our prayer life just begins to change a little bit. See, if we're serious about God in our lives, then we view our Christian walk differently. Sometimes we can get weary with the effort of trying to keep it all going, because we know we should. And that's a hard place to be when we're doing it on our own. When we've kind of fallen out of love with God, we keep going because we know we have to, but it can be very wearying. And if our Christian experience is limited to being at church on a Sunday, I really believe that we've misunderstood what God is looking for in our relationship with him. The heart of God is to live in us constantly and to be part of who we are and working in our hearts. That means he's working on the inside. He's graciously breaking us. That's his heart. He wants to write his laws in our heart and on our mind so that we get who God is. We can reduce our prayer time to asking when it might be much more effective to meditate on who God is and allow the Holy Spirit to open our hearts to the magnitude and magnificence of who God is. And there's just four things that I want to talk about very briefly that might help us as we approach prayer on a personal basis. Recognizing that if we do these things, it makes prayer more accessible, more understandable, and more effective. So first of all, we've got Thanksgiving. Are you a Thanksgiving person? Do you wake up every morning going, it's great to be alive. Thank you, God. Thank you for all that you've done. And begin to focus all the good things that God has given to us. It's easy to identify and focus on the negative, which can lead to low moods. If we begin to focus on negative things in life, our mood swing gets really low and we can fall into depression. We must learn to recognize the provision of God, even when we're going through hard times, and we do, don't we? But there's still so much that God wants, has done for us, that we've got to kind of wake ourselves up and go, but I'm still thankful about all this other stuff that you are doing and that you have done. I just want to read a section from this book on prayer. And this is Matthew, as some of you will know, Matthew Henry. He was a commentator on the Bible. He's written loads of stuff, helping us to understand the Word of God. And this is what's wrote about Matthew Henry. While reflecting on the fact that someone had stolen his wallet, prayed like this. I don't know whether it's almost like losing your phone, losing your wallet. Have you ever had your wallet stolen? So this was Matthew Henry's approach. First, Lord, let me be thankful that I've never been robbed before. He's a first timer. Thank you that it's never happened before. Secondly, that the thief did not take my life. Something to be thankful. Third, that because he took all I had possessed, it was not much. And fourth, because it was he who robbed me and not me. There is never a time in anyone's life when there is nothing for which we can be thankful. You can always find reasons to be thankful if you look for them. So think and give thanks. So in our hard times, we can give thanks. We can find things to thank God for and be thankful for. So thanksgiving is really important in our daily living. Thank you. And praise. Thanking God for all he has done for us. A joyful expression of our experience with God. Just praising him. We do this as part of our Sunday service. This is a praise and worship service. And we sing we worship God. But you know, you can do that on your own. You can do that in your daily life. You can sing the songs. You can be full of praise for who God is. Give God praise for our salvation, for his love towards us, for his grace in our lives, his forgiveness, his favor, his plans for us. There are so many things we can praise God for. But it's a discipline, as is thanking God. And we worship. Worship is recognizing who God is and humbling ourselves before him, accepting him as the God who is above everything, including us, and reflecting in every aspect of life that he is part of it. Worshiping God for who he is and not just for what he's done. Worship affects everything we do. It's a lifestyle. We're recognizing that God is God and that we've got to surrender to him. It's recognizing that he provides everything that we need for this life and for godliness, and we worship him for who he is. It's just that next stage of entering into praise and then worshiping God for who he is. And this is one that really challenged me, actually, this, because we know Thanksgiving, praise and worship, we talk about that quite a lot. But one of the things that really challenged me in this book was adoration. Spending time in meditation, in adoring and contemplating his character. And this leads to a greater love and dedication for who he is. This is the hardest of disciplines, as we must remain still and quiet. Something that we don't do very often in today's time pressures. And we need speed. We live for speed nowadays. It's very difficult sometimes to sit down and just adore God. Just be wowed by who God is. Just the very nature of him. It's hard to sit quiet and do that. But we've got to find ways to do it. You know, when you love somebody, you adore them, don't you? It's part of that relationship. You begin to adore them. And if we love God, we've got to give him time. We've got to adore him. Just he's an awesome God. What a creator God he is. Look at the world that he's created. It's just awesome. Look at what he's trying to do in our lives and what he's given to us. It's awesome. He's a creator God that wants to just be adored by us. And when we begin to adore God, you know, when you adore something, you begin to attach to it much better. We adore our football teams, don't we? We do. Or people do. Grimsby, come on. But we do. We begin to sort of express our life through the things that we adore. And it's quite easy to see the things that people adore just through conversation. God wants us to adore him. He wants us to have him at the center of who we are. So that's Thanksgiving, praise, worship, and adoration. See, our salvation is much bigger than what we think it is. See, if we simply see it as access to heaven, if we simply see it as I am going to heaven now, job done, then we're missing the point of what our salvation is, and we're limiting God in what he wants to do in us. Tells us in the word, doesn't it? He's trying to bring us to completion, to work in us daily, to fulfill all that he's promised us in our lives. All the words, the word of God tells us about what he's trying to do. If we just think we're going to heaven, then we're missing the opportunity for God to bring all that transformation into our hearts. Prayer helps us connect with God and what he wants to do in us. Those moments that we spend with him are part of him working in us. Sitting quietly and listening to God is quite hard. It is really, really hard because we're not used to it. We're busy, busy, busy. And God just wants us sometimes just to sit and reflect, worship, adore, praise him and be thankful. That's what he's looking for. There used to be a t-shirt in the 70s or the 80s. I don't know whether you remember it, all of you that are a little bit older. It says, "Don't worry, God's not finished with me yet." Do you remember those stickers and t-shirts that we used to wear? We can read that two ways. We can read it as, God's working in my life. Be patient with me. Just allow my presence in your life to be gracious, because God's not finished with me yet. And he hasn't. He's trying to work that work in us. He's trying to bring us to completion. He's trying to finish us. And so we can all say, God's not finished with us yet, but it doesn't give us the opportunity to behave how we want, which is, I think, sometimes we do. We say things and do things and go, well, God's not finished with me yet. I can do all that stuff. It's not right. What God has for us is a day-by-day experience, and he works in us to mature and grow us, preparing good works for us to complete. So don't be disappointed with your journey with God. He's a gracious God. But I think prayer is the thing that connects us to him. And praying isn't always verbalizing things. Sometimes we think prayer is all about verbalizing to God. Sometimes it's just sitting in his presence and allowing him to speak to us. We've got to be determined and consistent in our walk with God. And our prayer life brings a focus to what God wants and what he wants to do. And very often he works in us graciously to break us, because there's things in us that need to be broken. But we've got to give him opportunity to do that. So we've got to sit quietly and allow him to speak to us, so that we can willingly surrender when he says things to us about who we are. Sometimes we kind of get satisfied with where we are in God. Sometimes that's out of, I can't see it being any different than it is now. I think God's done everything in me that he can. And I've lived with this for so long that it's just part of who I am. But as we sit in God's presence, as we begin to adore him, he begins to open a door in our heart that goes, but I've not finished with you yet. There is still more to come. So let's not limit God by our own understanding of what God is trying to do. I'll talk about that in a minute. I just want to read a few scriptures that may help us on this journey. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are, and it's talking, Hebrews 11 is the call it the faith chapter. If you read Hebrews 11, it's all about faith, about people of faith who've journeyed with God and made a huge difference in their community, in their nation, because of their faithfulness. And he's saying, look, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, adoring him, worshipping him, giving him praise. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Therefore, in verse 12, it says this, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. By focusing on Jesus, sometimes we feel that we're not walking with him. And it's kind of a reminder that you've got to do something about this. Strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Look at Jesus. Don't allow this life to overcome you. Throw off the things that so easily entangle you. Be determined. Strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. That's part of our lifestyle. It It's part of our commitment to who God is, that we are, we have a degree of perseverance, determination to see God do everything in us that he wants to do. Let's not get distracted by the things of this world, but focus on all that God is and has for us. Psalm 1, this is a great psalm. If we're looking for things to adore God for, to worship God for, to praise him for and be thankful for, read through the Psalms. Some great Psalms. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners that take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Let's be planted in God so that whatever we do is prospered because God is feeding us with his life. Psalm 8. This is adoration. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, all the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What an awesome God. Psalm 37, please. This is one of my favourite scriptures, but it's a real challenge as well. It says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him and he will do this. Before we get the desires of our heart, which we all have, we all want things, we all have desires in our heart. But that first line is really important, that we delight in the Lord. We've got to delight in the Lord. We've got to be in that place where we are bringing adoration and worship and praise and thanksgiving, where it's part of our life, where we delight in the Lord. And when we begin to delight in the Lord, then he says he will give you the desires of your heart. So prayer opens up all that God is to our heart. Those desires you have, some of our desires are good desires, but we've still got to delight in God for them to come to pass. It's all about relationship. So often we get caught up with doing good works because we know that as believers we are called to do good works. But unless we're doing that with the delight of God in our hearts, it is of no effect whatsoever. God is interested in our heart. He's interested in our relationship with him. And then secondary to that comes our work for him. And we often flip those two about. God does want us to do good things. He does want us to work for him. But out of a delight for him, not out of a sense of duty or we feel it's the right thing to do. So how do we limit God in our lives? We limit God by our understanding of God's capabilities. We limit God to the things that we think he can do and not the things that are impossible for us to imagine. So in our daily lives, we can go, well, I think you can do that, God, therefore I will pray for that. But I'm not sure you can do that. So I'm not going to pray about that because that's quite hard and you might not be able to do it. And so sometimes we limit God by our understanding of what God can do, what he's capable of doing. This is why adoration is so important, because as we begin to adore God, it expands our understanding of all that God is and develops a love and a trust in God to give us what we need. We limit God by our understanding of who he is, which is why adoration is so important, because it just helps our mind just access who God really is. If we see God as our provider and his willingness to supply all we need, we have a willing God, but we begin to understand that as we adore him, then it's much easier to have a conversation about the bigger things that we can't see how that's going to happen. Ephesians 3:20 reminds us that he can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. What a scripture that is. That is just mind-blowing, that he can do more than all we can ask or imagine. And so we do limit God because we limit what we think he can do, but he can do much more than that. And it's as we spend time in adoration that Holy Spirit begins to open our hearts to the magnitude of who God is. The key to a successful prayer life is our relationship with God. And when we are thankful for what God brings to our lives, we praise him for all he's done. We worship him by recognizing he is God and include God in everything that we do, that we spend time in adoration. We begin to see prayer in a different way. It's not just something that we've got to do. It becomes something that we want to do because it just means that we are spending more time in God's presence. We've got to pray for the right things, knowing that God has got a will for our lives. And he has a real pleasure in answering our prayers. It says, doesn't it, that you're not receiving because you're asking for the wrong things. Ask for the right things. Ask for the things that are in my will. You know, listen to what the Holy Spirit is revealing to our hearts and let's pray for those things, the things that God wants to do in us. So tomorrow we're going to pray together. So be part of that. Don't see it as something that you've got to do, but it is a privilege and a pleasure to be together and just listening to what God has got to say, to worshiping him, adoring him, bringing thanks and praise. Just makes prayer so much easier when we begin to go to him and ask for things. But we want to ask for things that are beyond what we can imagine or think. We want to pray for big things. We want to see God moving in big ways in this church, to reach not only our lives, to transform us, but to reach into our community and into our nation, which is in a bit of a mess at the moment, and so is our world. And sometimes we can be overwhelmed by the circumstances of the world, but God can do more than we can imagine or think because he's bigger than all that. We just got to let him in to open our heart. Well, thank you for listening to me.